to you live, and by that we mean recorded in advance, from the Arnold Kluck smoking room, nestled in the heart of the sprawling villa which is Gut Check South Command. It's the Gut Check Podcast, with your hosts, Ted Kluck and Zach Bartles.
Hey, welcome to the Gut Check Podcast. I am Ted Kluck, joined, as always, in studio by my good friend and partner in radio, Zachary Bartles. And Zach, it is a perfect, idyllic morning here in Jackson, Tennessee. Already about 70 degrees, sunny. The azaleas are in bloom outside of the Arnold Kluck Smoking Lounge. So, Gut Check South Studio is looking beautiful. And baby, we had an idyllic breakfast at a coffee shop downtown in Humboldt called...
The Coffee Shop.
The Coffee Shop.
Very imaginatively named, but I feel like it gets to have that name because it is like the prototypical perfect coffee shop.
It really is. It's perfect in every way. And here's the thing. If it had been either a smidge more hipster or based in like Franklin, Tennessee, the hipster capital of the world, it would have been obnoxious.
But the people working there were so like down southern, kind, like...
And the kindness was genuine. Like, I feel like there's a certain kind of fake, cloying, saccharine kindness down here, but that's not the kind.
This is just a little aside. We don't have anyone sweeping leaves today outside the Arnold Kluck smoking room, but we do have some neighbors doing some...
Heavy construction.
Yeah, there's like air tools being used. So you're going to hear that. It's just the sounds of life.
That's right.
There it is.
We're just doing life together. Life on life. So, baby... You
know, and after, I want to point out this, too.
Yeah.
After we went there, you stopped, because you're a sweetheart, you stopped at a little flower shop and got some flowers for your wife. And Ted, your town of Humboldt, Tennessee is absolutely idyllic.
Baby, it's charming.
We were walking
up,
there was an older southern gentleman like putting together a display outside.
And
you kind of paused for a second like, are they open? And he goes, Margaret's inside. And then we went inside, we met Margaret, and she was delightful.
Margaret was delightful. Although Margaret alluded to, like, how
she would do
flowers on my casket if I died suddenly.
And you would die if you forgot to put the flowers in water, and your wife would kill you.
It took a really dark turn, but in that, she was still very sweet.
Yes,
hard to explain.
I wish Margaret was here right now, honestly.
You know, the guy who welcomed me in and indicated that Margaret was inside, you know who he reminded me of in pop culture?
Who?
The Ethan Hawke character from the Magnificent Seven remake.
Okay.
Midnight Robichaux. Old, grizzled, indicating that Margaret's inside, just like he did in the movie. Baby, I want to talk about a particular aspect of our morning, and specifically our breakfast.
You mean like, because we met wonderful people at the... coffee shop, wonderful people, you know, service people, wonderful people at the florist, but there was one person who wasn't wonderful.
There was one person in particular who I want dead.
Is there a lighter?
There is.
You want that Margaret to be doing flowers for his
funeral.
What about the better lighter?
Oh, yeah. Where did I put it? I just have it. There it is. All right, so here's the scene, baby. So we got this beautiful, idyllic, 70 and sunny morning. Very, very cute, very hipster coffee shop inside. But you and I both kind of indicated that we wanted to sit, wait for it,
outside.
There was a little bit of seating outside, so we get our coffees, we get our breakfast casserole, which was delicious, and we're seated outside, and piped in through the outdoor speakers was like radio preaching.
Which to me was just another layer of what I loved about your town.
That
we were outside of the reach of all the vitriol that would be like, how dare you have that on? It was like outdoors it was being blasted.
Yeah.
And everyone was happy about it.
They were the opposite of let's keep it secular, right?
Carmen Serrano.
Exactly.
But I gotta say, it wasn't just any preaching.
No.
It wasn't some no-namer.
No, it was the preaching of one Dr. David Jeremiah, who I'm only familiar with because of two things. One, my mom listens to Dr. David Jeremiah, and then whenever she refers to him conversationally, it's never Jeremiah. Or Dr. Jeremiah. It's Dr. David Jeremiah.
My wife has worked for Dr. David Jeremiah and his outfit.
Interesting.
And I think she does the same thing. When
fascinating. Fascinating.
There's a sense that if you don't say the whole title, you'll be zapped with lightning or...
Absolutely,
Margaret will be doing, you know, funeral flowers.
He'll find you and have you dealt with.
And I gotta say, by the way, this has nothing to do with that, and it's a tangent, and it messes up the story.
Baby, this is your program. You can do whatever you want.
That the little bouquet you got for your wife was pretty.
Thank you.
But all the rest of the place was full of just really gaudy, awful, fake flowers.
It was full of fake, like, funeral casket flowers, and it kind of bummed me out.
I've done 145 funerals. I've never seen fake flowers out of on
really?
A casket.
Not I don't know how it works. Once. I have no, no idea how it works.
I don't know what was going on in there. But
yeah, it was weird.
But I the place was great, and I love Margaret.
Very great. Margaret is charming, and also the old guy is charming.
That old guy was like, give me my walking petunias.
Yeah, if they're listening. And I bet they are. I bet they're fans of the program, Margaret and the old guy. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, we think you're awesome. Five out of five for that place. 6 out of 5 for the coffee shop.
they kind of acted like they knew us in the flower shop.
I love that.
Yeah, I mean they're probably listeners. They didn't want to say anything because they were maybe a little starstruck. You know?
They were like, I knew this day would come when Ted Kluck moved into Humboldt.
Yeah, exactly. Of all the towns in the world, he moved to ours. And
of all the flower shops in all the towns.
That's right. And I was just kind of like, you guys, it's okay. You know? It's okay. Just a normal morning. So, Zach, it wasn't a normal morning. Because once we got our coffees... So, Zach, we get seated. We're enjoying our coffees. We're enjoying our breakfast casserole. Dr. David Jeremiah's preaching over the loudspeaker. And we're chatting. You know, and there are some people a couple tables down from us who are also chatting. And we keep hearing what sounded to me, Zach, like Dr. David Jeremiah in his... Very, very, very sort of theatrical cadence, ranting against a gentleman whose name sounded a lot like Luke Wampus.
And we both looked at each other, and we're like, who's this Luke Wampus guy?
Dude, who is this Luke Wampus that he hates so much?
And now, Ted, you did a pretty decent image. It was an impersonation. It was an homage. It wasn't any mockery or anything.
That's right. 0% satire in this, yeah.
Could we hear you do that with Luke Wampus in the mix?
Of course. So yeah, he would say something like, the enemy... of the faith is Luke Wampus. You know, and you and I would put our coffees down and we're looking at each other going, what did this Luke Wampus do?
Something.
This guy must be horror. He must be the worst guy.
Luke Wampus will destroy your church and your family.
Luke Wampus will destroy your marriage.
Let me ask you something. When I wheeze like that, does it make you miss your wife all the more?
Right. Absolutely. I just asked.
In my house, we call that the KK wheeze.
It's the KK wheeze. It's telltale KK wheeze.
I do that a lot now.
That's great,
dude. I do it more and more. So, yeah, Luke Wampus. And then I was like, Ted, maybe it doesn't make sense that he's saying Luke Wampus. Like,
yeah.
And you said there was a Luke Wampus at your high school.
Yeah. I went to high school with Luke Wampus, but he wasn't a bad guy, you know.
And I was like, maybe what he's saying, because I think he was preaching in like Revelation 3.
Yeah.
I was like, maybe he's saying Lou Quampus. Maybe that's the name of the guy that he hates.
Yeah. Who was a douche? Luke Wampus is a realtor out on the West Coast, and maybe he's had some bad dealings with Dr. David Jeremiah. So you, being a man of the cloth, I leaned on you. I leaned on your seminary degree and your knowledge, and I said...
Figuratively, you leaned upon me. Yeah.
Actually, also literally for a second, but let's cut that part out. But I asked you, I said, who is this Luke Wampus that he's preaching against? He must be a sinister character, like from the Old Testament, that I've just forgotten.
Or maybe he's like a liberal theologian from the early, you know,
early 2000s. Yeah. He was in the Brian McLaren set.
Luke Wampus.
He was in the kimonos and bad theology set.
I sort of feel like Dr. David Jeremiah would not be railing against anything emergent or later. It'd be like, you know, like Albert Rischel, someone from the late 1800s.
Yes, exactly. Someone who's been dead for 100 years, whose theology he's still just hammering.
Many of you out there are familiar with Schleiermacher. No, but he wasn't. He was talking about Luke Wampus.
He was.
Who you went to high school with.
Who I went to high school, who wasn't a bad dude, but apparently he's taking a real turn for the worst.
Or Dr. David Jeremiah has a beef with him.
What do you imagine Luke Wampus did to Dr. David Jeremiah?
Well,
do you think he destroyed Dr. David Jeremiah's marriage?
He was talking a lot about marriage.
Yeah.
He talked a lot about your first love,
uh-huh,
which again sounded like just standard Revelation 3 stuff, but then he started talking about like your honeymoon and building the love up more and more and more, and then immediately went back to but Luke Wampus. So I don't know, I feel like Luke Wampus, he's not done anything good.
No.
I
tell you what though, mission accomplished by Dr. David Jeremiah, because I'm against Luke Wampus as well now.
Yeah.
So let me put a pin in Luke Wampus for a minute and ask you just like I'd like to literally put a pin in him. This guy.
Put a pin in like a voodoo doll.
Of Luke Wampus.
Which, by the way, Dr. David Jeremiah.
It sells on his website. For $19.99, you could get a Luke Wampus voodoo doll and a and a commemorative shofar. Every time you blow it, Luke Wampus will feel pain.
You blow it, and it blows up Luke Wampus's bowels, and he gets gassed.
Exactly.
That was a weird crash joke.
It was.
I'm leaving it in though.
Now, as a man of the cloth, as a pastor yourself, what did you think of the technique, kind of the theatrics of the Luke Wampus talk, from a technical standpoint?
I don't really connect.
Uh-huh.
If you're gonna rail against Luke Wampus,
yeah, and he was.
I've never been the kind of guy who's like preaching has to sound like just basically talking.
Yeah, sure.
I don't like. There should be another level if you're so inclined.
Yeah.
Of kind of
pitch,
passion,
pitch, passion.
You're using a stage voice. You're projecting in a way that you wouldn't if you're just talking to somebody.
Sure.
Like John Piper, or you know, somebody who gets up and they're preaching now. They're not just talking. Yeah. But when somebody is talking about Luke Wampus, like when Piper rails against Luke Wampus,
yeah,
it's
and all the great ones do it.
Yeah.
Believe me.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Dude, do you remember? I think it was Irenaeus wrote Irenaeus. Yeah. They say Irenaeus wrote against Wampus.
Yes. His famous treatise against Wampus. Yeah.
Contra Wampus. But he didn't have a completely different persona and voice.
Yeah.
I never can, like, take seriously long enough to benefit from preaching where someone puts on a persona.
Yeah.
And they shift into REV. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
So they're like, hi, I'm Zach Bartles, and I'm going to be the preacher today. And then instead of getting up and being like that, but louder and more kind of...
Yeah.
Even maybe more polished.
Yeah.
Instead of that, they're... Luke Wampus, Luke Wampus. To me, that just smacks
of... totally different. Yeah.
We were talking about a different preacher who I won't name. And God bless you, David Jeremiah.
Yeah.
It's just not for me.
Right.
He's led more people to the Lord than I can dream of doing. I'm just saying this doesn't connect with me.
Not Luke Wampus, though. Which, I mean, for an Arminian...
Luke Wampus, he wants to lead him right down to, like, his basement, I think. But
exactly.
But... What was that? Oh yeah, no, it's gone.
Something about preaching, technique, about
putting on a different thing.
Yeah, that was a good riff though. It was good. Remember it,
Luke Wampus. Well, something about Wampus.
Yeah.
Wasn't there something there about Luke Wampus?
Yeah, I think so.
Dude, what did we get going on that was making us laugh so hard? It was like, I remember the first time Luke Wampus came into my home.
Yeah.
I remember the first time the police came and said, have you seen Luke Wampus lately? And I told them, I have no idea where he is, but I knew where he was,
which was tied up in my basement.
That's not David Jeremiah anymore.
No.
We were creating it, like, much like we created Chaz Marriott.
Mm-hmm.
We were creating a different preacher persona.
A new persona.
Here's kind of where I was going.
Yeah.
Earlier when I couldn't get back in the rhythm.
It'd be a heavy edit here in the early part.
I'm not taking anything out.
No, good. Leave it all.
I'm leaving it. It's organic.
That's right.
I'm afraid that if I cut something out, there'll be like a jump in the sounds of the air tools coming from over there. And you'll be able to tell. I was going to basically say, like, I could probably, if I practiced, get to the point where I could deliver all my sermons like a walk-in.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be like, you know, Luke Wampus.
Uh-huh.
I can't stand a guy.
Yeah.
I'd get better at it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm out of practice.
Yeah.
Or I could probably get to the point where I'd be like a Jar Jar Binks. Or,
yeah.
But why would I change who I kind of am right when I get into the most important moment of what I'm going to communicate?
Exactly.
I feel like it's something that started on the Sawdust Trail with this revivalist stuff. It just got passed down. And people are like, oh, I just assume that's what it's supposed to sound like when someone's preaching.
Well, let me ask you this.
It's weird, though.
As a pastor, when was the last time you preached against Luke Wampus? I mean, I feel like you're doing your flock a disservice if you're not,
if you're
not bringing this message with regularity.
Here's the thing. I mean, there are issues that are important to me individually.
Uh-huh.
But I don't want to bind the conscience of my congregation.
Yeah.
There are things that the Bible speaks plainly against.
Uh-huh.
And I will try to be faithful and bring those.
Absolutely.
And if I offend someone, so be it.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like my real just hatred for Luke Wampus is more of a personal thing deep in my own heart.
Something you share with Dr. David Jeremiah.
And apparently. With you.
Yeah, and with me. Exactly.
The three of us.
Right. We're all anti-Wampus. Now, let's think through some other, like, super high-end pastors and their book titles. And what it would sound like if they were to preach and or write against Luke Wampus, which I feel that they all should do. So for Kevin DeYoung, the anti-Wampus sermon would be very kind of academic, dispassionate, you know, very very sort of collegiate in tone and delivery. Now, what's KDY's most famous title?
Oh, I don't know. I don't really follow him anymore.
What about this?
Forgotten Wampus?
Why we're not Luke Wampus by two guys who should be. Do you think that has legs, baby?
Mm. Gospel Coalition had 9 things you need to know about Luke Wampus.
Yeah, so Mark Dever's book would be The 9 Marks of Luke Wampus.
I think we really need to write 9 things you need to know about Luke Wampus.
I might do that right
like
now.
Like number 8 is like he's tied up in my basement.
We're going to take a 10-minute break between shows in which I write this entire essay.
Next step, we get a little Luke Wampus.
Exactly,
I like that.
Exactly. John Piper, desiring Wampus? Except it would be against Wampus.
Well, like desiring.
Yeah.
Want to get in the ring with him?
Yeah,
or?
I want to, you're right.
That was a great idea for a bit.
How about this? So think about very suave, very urbane, very East Coast, very cosmopolitan. Tim Keller, counterfeit Wampus.
Ooh, yes. Right? Counterfeit Wampus.
Counterfeit Wampus, Tim Keller. Now, I don't know if we even said this on the air, but what Dr. David Jeremiah was trying to say was lukewarmness.
Oh,
wow.
I didn't know that.
It all kind of makes sense now, doesn't it?
I thought he was,
a guy.
I feel like he could have delivered that in a way where there wouldn't have been any confusion.
That's true.
And we would have just known he was saying lukewarmness.
Yeah. And then he could have said all that stuff that's not really in the Bible about romance and your honeymoon and all that, and it would have kind of made more sense.
Right. But, yeah. You know, like it says in John's second epistle, you have to bring your woman out to eat twice a week.
Take your woman on a date night twice a week.
Oh, Luke Wampus will move in on her.
Yeah. Literally, Luke Wampus, who has moved into the neighborhood. He may move in on her.
Luke Wampus, what's weird about Luke Wampus, this is one of the 9 things you need to know, is he moves a lot.
He does.
He is moving just, like, by degrees closer and closer to you.
Luke Wampus could move into your church. Luke Wampus could move into your house. this Wampus
Luke
guy, like...
Luke Wampus has VD. That's also one of the 9 things you need
to
know.
That's one, There may actually be like 19 things. There could be more things.
90
yeah.
things you need to know about Luke Wampus.
Exactly. Oh, baby. You know what? We've got other bit. We could sit here and talk about Luke Wampus all the live long day.
Are you gonna say it though?
What? No. Oh, you want me to say the thing?
I want
the
you
segue
to say
thing.
It. I want you to say the thing.
Baby, here's the thing. I'm segueing out of Luke Wampus, but that doesn't mean I'm gonna stop thinking about him. Okay? Because you know and I know that I hate this guy.
Keep your guard up, Luke.
Right.
Wampus.
And Luke Wampus, if you're listening, I'll see you in hell. So, moving right along in the Gut Check Radio Hour, Zach, we have some old new business to attend to. And by old, I mean this is a conceit that's been with this program for decades, for centuries. Since the history of this wonderful radio program, we have done a thing in which we each drink an energy drink into the microphone, and then we talk about how it tastes. We talk about what's written on the can, and this is good radio. So, Zach, why don't you tell the listeners what they're seeing here?
This is who supplied these puppies for us?
One, Connor Shelton.
You are the man,
Connor Shelton.
Connor, he's the opposite of Luke Wampus.
If you moved into my neighborhood, I would be glad.
Yeah.
I would feel better about that.
You know what, Connor Shelton? I would let you out of my basement.
Exactly. Yeah, me too.
Alright, so it's a nice black can.
Yeah.
I love the logo.
Dude, clean logo. Very, very counterculture to the energy drink kind of industry.
This looks like an NBA team's, like...
Dude, it does. It looks like the Sacramento Kings, like, alternate uniform. And it would be good.
It's called Rain, total body fuel.
Yeah.
And it is peach fizz flavor.
Yeah.
And around the rim of the can, it lists the stuff that's in here.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm hoping there's caffeine, because I don't see that listed.
Dude, there is. There's 300 milligrams.
Ooh, that's not something to sneeze at,
yeah,
man.
Exactly.
It's more caffeine you can shake a Luke Wampus at.
Exactly.
BCAA aminos.
Great.
I feel like all of these are like, they're like, we need to find something no one else has, so let's just say stuff nobody knows what it is.
Exactly.
Coenzyme Q10.
Dude,
which,
that's good.
My doctor actually recommends 2 servings of coenzyme Q10 every
day. Exactly, yeah. I'm feeling a little low. That's good we're getting our first serving.
And here's another one that I've never heard of. Electrolytes.
Interesting.
So I like it when these things like span the kind of space between energy drink and sports drink.
That's right. I like that too. I feel like I'm doing something good for my body. I'm doing my body a favor. You know?
So we're replenishing electrolytes. And is there copy? There's not really copy, which I kind of like too.
Yeah, it's kind of minimalist.
Minimal.
Yeah.
Oh, so it says, it's got a little thing on the side, 300 milligrams natural caffeine.
Okay.
Increased concentration. There's like an icon of like
a brain.
A head with gears in it.
Yeah, yeah.
Reduced fatigue. Well, yeah, that's the idea behind the energy drink. B vitamins, B3, B6, B12. And I feel like, Ted, I really do feel like those make a huge difference.
The difference between
a Jolt Cola with tons of sugar and caffeine and then the thing with the like B complex stuff going on.
That kind of prevents the crash, doesn't
it? Yeah, yeah. That's what makes a 5-hour energy so great.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then branched chain amino acids, electrolytes, what is this? Sodium, what's the K? I don't know. NaKMG.
Okay, yeah, good. That.
Recommended for persons 18 years or older. And then get this. This is also something I look for at my age in an energy drink. Zero sugar per serving, zero calories per serving, zero artificial color, zero artificial flavor.
That's right.
Actually, the last one, not so much. I like the artificial flavor,
but
we'll see what we got.
We'll see what we got. Let's crack them open, Zach. This is the sound of Rain Energy.
Rain, R-E-I-G-N, we should specify.
Yeah, let's get the nose
like,
on
like
this
raining like a king, not rain.
Ooh.
Oh my God. What does that smell like? What does that smell like, dude?
That is a nice fake peach smell. I love it.
Oh, it smells exactly like something else. I can't
quite put my finger on it. I agree. I can't either.
It smells really good.
Yeah.
Wow.
We ready to take a sip?
So far we've said the nose is really good. And I'm going to go on a limb and say the taste is
incredible.
Yeah, that's...
Baby, you know what this tastes like? And this isn't a thing. I'm drawing an analogy to something that isn't real and it's brand new. So, like, grammatically, I'm not sure how that works. But, it tastes to me, Zach. It tastes
to me. No spit take. I muscled it down.
Yeah, you muscled it down. It tastes to me like peach bubblegum. It might be a thing.
I feel like there's some kind of candy that it tastes like.
Yeah.
That's what I'm trying to get my... I feel like it was maybe one of these... Like, they came in a little plastic, like, it looked like it was like a round, it looked like almost like a tin of...
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you pop it open, and they had, like, no sugar or anything,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, yeah.
And there was one that tasted like this.
Dude, holy crap, this tastes...
You know what it tastes like? And
what?
This isn't anything.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just quoting you.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. You know what they should call this? Luke Wampus's Tears. Because that's what it tastes like to me.
Actually, to me, this is giving me the fuel to hunt Luke Wampus down.
The way that Jean-Claude Van Damme...
Yeah.
Dude, yesterday when I sat on one of your classes...
Yeah, dude, that was so funny.
You have a couple of really funny students who were right next to each other...
Yeah.
...who had an encyclopedic knowledge of, like...
Kind of crummy 80s, pop culture. Like, yeah,
yes,
yeah.
Oh, they were hilarious, too.
They were great.
And I just sat there and I loved hearing their interaction and
how
much they knew.
Yeah.
One thing bugged me.
What?
The one of the guys that was actually my favorite.
Yeah.
They were almost tied, but the one with the crazy hair is my favorite.
Yeah, yeah.
With all the nerd knowledge.
Yeah, yeah.
He kept saying JCVD. JCVD.
Yeah.
When it's in the same number of syllables as Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but whenever people do that, it bugs me.
I think he felt as though, and this is not me defending him, okay? This is just...
No, defend him. He's your student, man.
Just two people talking. I think he felt... So he had this experience where he had just discovered the movie Bloodsport. Which, as we've talked about in the program, Bloodsport, for any guy of a certain age, it was sort of your middle school ride the BMX bike to the video store that's attached to the tanning bed and, like, rent Bloodsport on a summer afternoon.
if the cool person's working the counter and let you have the rated R movie.
Yeah, exactly. So you rent Bloodsport, you take it back, you watch...
You rewind all the parts with the breaking bones and faces.
Yeah, where Chong Li, one of the great villains of all time, Chong Li, snaps the leg of the other guy, and then you watch him fight Jean-Claude Van Damme.
JCVD.
JCVD. Oh, so I think what happened is my student... Oh, wow. My student had this experience where he had just discovered Bloodsport and Jean-Claude Van Damme, and he felt this sort of kinship such that he was ready to go immediately into, like, nickname territory with Van Damme.
All right, I'll allow it, and I want to hang out with both of those guys. I feel like next time...
Dude, they're great.
Next time I'm in town, we have a smoke with them.
That would be awesome.
But here's the thing.
Yeah.
I was going to say, it gives you that fuel, much like JCVD went and hunted people in Hard Target.
That's right.
Or no, the bad guys in that movie did, and he was like, don't hunt people, but in a French accent.
He had the fuel to, like, to stop with it. His French accent, to stop the hunting and to evade the people who were doing the hunting.
So that kind of begs the question, though. Who should play Luke Wampus in the movie where we hunt him?
Wow. It's got to be somebody sinister, dangerous, but patently unlikable.
Josh Gad?
Who's Josh Gad?
The snowman on Frozen.
Okay. I'm listening.
Okay, so you're not familiar with Josh Gad. Give me another name.
Dude, what about the guy... And I don't know why every Luke Wampus-related anecdote ends with a comparison to the movie The Magnificent Seven, because it's not like I even watched that recently, but the guy who played the bad guy, like the really evil, really terrible bad guy, the dead eye, kind of sweaty, pallid, green, horrible bad guy on Magnificent Seven. Talking like this.
Like he's dripping molasses out of his mouth where he orders the death of...
thousands of people.
And tells his men to bring me Dr. David Jeremiah.
That's the guy.
Bring me his head on a platter.
I think now we're just doing the guy outside the flower shop.
Yeah, exactly. Slash a little bit of Dr. David Jeremiah.
Holy cow, that's not Luke Wampus' dad, is it?
No, Mr. Wampus? Dude, no way. Mr. Wampus was super cool.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, Mr. Wampus was super cool.
This might be my favorite energy drink I've ever had.
Baby, it's so good.
How is there no sugar in this?
I could drink all kinds of these.
I've never seen these. I don't think they have them up north.
Dude, I actually think they're...
El
like,
Norte.
I think they're brand new to the market.
Rainbodyfuel.com. Dude, I'm looking to make a switch. I don't want to be the guy in the crowd like some kind of like basic
lame
Luke Wampus with a monster in my hand.
Exactly.
I want one of these. New. I want one of these things.
Baby, listen to me.
I want to... stand out from the Wampuses of this world.
What if after the program, we got onto the computer and we did some work business in which we reached out to Rain as a company?
Yeah.
And we said, we've got a company, you've got a company, let's do business together. You know, let's do synergy. Now, I tell you, I might have trouble writing this email. Do you know of any freelance writers who are making six figures? Who... A couple of years ago, they were failing financially. And now they have the secrets to working at home and becoming a six-figure writer. Do you know anyone like this?
I may, but listen.
Because that's who I need to know.
I can do you one better. I can help you become one.
Okay.
I just have to point in the right direction.
Do you have the steps? Do you have maybe... Is there a free email that you could send me to help me unlock my potential as a freelance writer who can stay at home and make six figures? And then... So, here's the thing.
You're so off, dude.
If I do that and if I'm able to pull it off, could I then, like, I would open a Twitter account, number one. I would get on social media for this. That I could then, every couple of days, talk about how well I'm doing as a freelance writer. Some of you may not know this. Doggone it, I work from home. I'm doing really well. Is that a thing that maybe I could do?
That may be out there. That may be in the wind, man.
Yeah.
We'll put out some feelers.
Do you think somebody else is doing it? No, so maybe somebody beat me to it.
There's room for everybody, man.
Thank you, baby.
Everybody but Luke Wampus.
Exactly. Dude, if Wampus is the freelance writer, oh, I'm going to be so angry. I don't think I just don't think I could bear it.
We tell him we already talked you up and celebrated you greatly.
Yeah.
And made you out to be the fuel that we use to hunt this guy Luke Wampus.
Exactly.
And we'd like to do it weekly for a while if you give us each a case.
Dude, their tagline on the promo read would be, official energy drink sponsor of hunting Luke Wampus. Baby, I do want some of this. I want some free product.
It's so good.
Listen, Rain
Only
Corporate.
Only that flavor. Oh, maybe they have other flavors. This is good.
If you're listening, we want to do business with you.
Work business.
We want to do work business. We want to make a work business deal materialize with you. Between our two companies. So, Zach, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. After this, I'm gonna send an email, even without the help of a copywriter who works from home, who does really, really well financially. I'm gonna forge ahead even without this person, right? I'm gonna send the email, and then I'm literally gonna do nothing but sit and watch the Gut Check corporate telephone and wait for it to call.
That beautiful baby
black rotary dial phone. Yeah.
Now let's say one more thing I love about this.
Yeah.
The can is textured.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a nice texture, except right where that logo, where the words and stuff are, it's not. It's like, yeah. I love that.
Dude, I like the grip. It's ergonomically satisfying. It's a nice little pebbly texture, so like a standard can, if it gets a little sweaty like this, it could slip out of your hand. This one, it's like grabbing a football.
Yeah.
It's like grabbing a football that's like the shape of a can, and it has peach fizz inside of it.
So there's two things about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like kind of the consistency of a football, and it's the shape of a can.
Yeah.
Two things that we like about that can.
Exactly. It's a good can.
Let's throw together some kind of taglines, marketing stuff.
Uh-huh.
Because they don't really have... They've got total body fuel. They don't have like a feed the beast or whatever.
Yeah.
We do a little free work for them.
Yeah.
Freelance, if you will.
It's a loss leader.
We say, look, you can take our ideas and run, or you can partner with us.
You know what it is? It's content marketing.
I don't know what that is, but it sounds good.
It's a thing that like... Those types of guys talk about all the time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Consultants.
What about this?
Yeah.
From the Weebuses to the Wampuses. Oh. Everyone's drinking Rain Total Body Fuel.
Ooh, I love it. And we could get Chuck to maybe appear in an ad.
What about, I like this logo, but what about a graphic of Weebus holding Wampuses like severed head?
Yeah, I love it. Yeah, yeah.
In triumph.
I love it.
Dr. Jeremiah stands at a distance smiling approvingly.
Now, here's a question and a problem.
Wait a minute. What if Dr. David Jeremiah already has the sponsorship deal exclusive with Rain Total Body Fuel?
Dude, do you think Jeremiah has an exclusive with Rain?
I wouldn't put it past him.
I was going to say, if we vanquish Luke Wampus, what's Jeremiah going to preach passionately about? That's my thing.
Hey, watch your tongue.
That's his problem.
What's who going to preach passionately about?
Yeah. Dr. David Jeremiah.
Oh man, this is another one of these C'est la vie's.
Dude, they're so good.
Dude, you know what I loved?
What?
Last night. Yo, let's talk about where we got these cigars.
Yeah.
Not these, but the ones we had yesterday and the
day
before.
Let's talk about WrestleMania.
And then let's
which
talk
happened
about
last
WrestleMania.
Night.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Baby, tell us about where we got these cigars. So we picked up some great cigars.
Well, let's weave a narrative here.
Yeah.
We had a delicious dinner. We didn't talk about this yet.
No, we didn't.
At Sizzler, which you've talked about on the program.
Yeah.
A little bit of a disappointment to you because it's changed hands.
It's changed ownership. So all the guys that made me feel like Norm at Cheers,
right.
they would greet me warmly and banter kindly with me. Those guys were all gone because
no
they
one
sold.
Shouted your name when we walked.
No
in.
One shouted my name, and I was disappointed. And I feel like you were disappointed.
We did like the people who were running the place.
Dude, the people were great.
The
food
was
still
amazing.
Phenomenal. Yeah,
dude,
still
we all three of us, you, me, and your boy Maxim, had chicken tikka masala, which
chicken
is like
tikka masala.
The best.
Yeah, the best thing, like the cheeseburger of Indian food, but whatever.
Well, yeah, it's a safe thing,
yeah.
but it's the best thing. Mm-hmm. I got mine a little spicy, and I was really happy I did because it was just. You know how sometimes you say, put a little extra heat in, but not all the way, and you get it back, and it burns your face off?
Yeah, yeah.
They didn't do that.
No, they listened, didn't they? They listened to you. Yeah.
So then when we left, the plan was, you're like, perfect, there's a place two doors down called...
Ye Old Pipe Shop.
Which, that's, dude, wonderful.
Yep.
And there was a place two doors down called Ye Old Pipe Shop, but it closed at 6.
Nah, dude.
Which makes sense.
Yeah.
It's a strip mall tobacco shop. The guy's got a life.
Yeah, yeah.
So you said, and you had said this to me earlier in the week.
Yeah.
And Ted, I just kind of didn't respond.
I know it. It was a tough sell.
I did the kind
it?
Of thing where I just was like, if I don't say anything, it'll go away.
Yeah, yeah.
You said, I've heard from some people that there's a nice gas station with a good selection of cigars nearby.
Yeah.
And I was like...
And it was right on the way back to my house. So it was super convenient.
And I was like, well, why don't we...
You said, you were kind of dismissive.
I got off the phone. I started looking for another closer place.
Yeah, yeah.
There was nothing else in Jackson.
Yeah.
There was only like the sad...
like roll your own cigarette stations and crap. And I said, all right, let's check out this thing. Let's check out the gas station. It was not a nice gas station.
No, it was not.
So you were wrong on one level.
Correct. Yeah.
But it did have a great selection of cigars.
Yeah, had a little humidor.
A humidor, which was, what was the deal with it? It was like made of like a sliding deck door. Like a glass door.
Mm-hmm.
Like the one in your old house
mm-hmm.
where you put the little dowel down to make sure nobody can jimmy their way in.
Yeah.
And we're looking through this thing and the awesomest like gas station attendant
lady
makes you feel like your
friends. Makes you feel like you've known each other for years. Yes. You went to high school together.
She, and how do I say this without sounding un-PC? Yeah. She made me feel like I was more
kind like her
cool
than like me.
And maybe from a more colorful and interesting
different
background.
Different backgrounds.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I like that.
I like that too. Yeah.
She was so nice to us.
Incredibly kind.
But the first thing she says was, go ahead and get in.
Yeah.
It's unlocked.
Climb on in there. Yeah.
And it wasn't a walk-in humidor.
No.
Had you gotten in...
Yeah, you would have filled the entire space.
Like, that's a trick I would use with Luke Wampus. I'd be like, get in, and I'd just slide the door shut and lock it.
And then I'd pump some poison in there, and he'd be dead 5 minutes later. Or something. Not that I've thought it through.
Not that, but like that.
Yeah, yeah. Like, maybe, maybe not. I don't know.
Whatever.
Yeah, I don't know the science behind it. Maybe it'd take 10 minutes, you know.
So we opened it up, and I said to him, I'm talking to you, and I'm...
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I said to you, I'm like, these things are going to be hella expensive.
Yeah.
And they were... Maybe $2 a stick more than you'd pay at a nice cigar shop. They're nicely humidified.
Yeah.
Dude, you've got a great local...
Dude, I got a great little resource for smokes.
Dude, and you can get inside jokes with that lady, which
absolutely
would feel great. That lady
absolutely
was awesome.
She was incredible. Tip of the cap to the Valero gas station. Valero, Zach, is Spanish for beauty. I didn't know
really?
If you... Yeah, I don't know if you
I
knew that.
I didn't know that.
Actually, I don't think it is. I just made that up just now. But I want it to be. The Valero, near the Family Fun Bowling Alley in Jackson. Tip of the cap to you.
There's a touch more to the story, though, I just remembered.
Yeah.
We also, at the counter, you are a real big fan of Jarum Blacks.
Yes, dude. Jarum Blacks.
And...
The great Indian clove cigarette.
I just remembered that you wrote a Jarum Black piece for the volume 2 of the smoking book that's going to come out.
Dude, I did,
someday,
didn't I?
Like a year from now.
Gosh, where is that? I would love to
have it
that
on my computer.
Nice.
But we said we'd like one of the regular blacks and one of the originals, which don't have the sugared tip. They're brown.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're on like number 3 for the podcast so far.
Yeah.
They're good.
Yeah.
They're a good smoke. And we got home and realized she'd given us the originals and the ultra smooth. And I do not like them as much as the regular blacks.
Mm-hmm.
They are too smooth for me.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm not very smooth.
No, well, you know, nobody's perfect, baby, besides God and maybe Luke Wampus before he went bad. But
Luke Wampus, when you knew him in high school.
Yeah, when I knew him in high school. Guy. Yeah, he was a great guy. Yeah,
he's like shirt off his back. Like,
shirt off his back. Give you the shirt off
his
back. Stick his neck out for you. So, so we pick up these cigars, and then last night went to my son's soccer game. Tristan is a high school soccer player. Phenomenal game. Perfect night.
Bracing for a loss.
Playing a really good team. We win the game 4-3. The highlight of which
Tristan's on fire,
dude. The highlight of which was my other son, Maxim, standing along the fence. Maxim has impeccable comedic timing.
Yes.
He was just born with it. It's innate. I don't know where he got it.
And what's great about Maxim is whenever you look at him, when he's being quiet, which is most of the time, you see the wheels turning.
You can see the wheels turning. He's like, think of something funny to say.
And then when he says it, it's just pure
gold.
Spot
on and pure gold. So there was a sequence near the end of the game when we're up 4-3. We're kind of trying to run the clock out. The other team is shooting the ball like against our goal, and they take several shots in succession, none of which are successful. And then the ball kind of goes down to the other end, and Maxim leans against the fence like a cowboy, right? Like the Marlboro man. He kind of gets this cockeyed grin on his face, and he looks at me and Zach, and he goes, "Everybody missed."
Like with a, well, that's that kind of a,
exactly.
Like,
well,
everybody missed.
I've taken a look at this thing. Here's my assessment. Everybody missed. So we win the game. We go downtown. We get this incredible hipster meal.
Oh, yeah. 5 stars to the blacksmith.
The blacksmith in downtown Jackson.
And Zach at the blacksmith.
Dude, Zach, our server, was incredible. Great dude, took great care of us. Friend of the program, probably a listener. We want to do a business deal also with the blacksmith. Ooh. We would like to bring them on board.
Give us some gifts
as a sponsor. We can enter into a partnership. I'm not going to say what the deal has to look like. You reach out to us, right? We're both business people. We're both small business owners.
We're just going to sit and wait for it to read out, for you to reach out to us. Mm-hmm. We'll be banging out a lot of freelance writing.
Right. Working from home, doing very well financially. And then and when you call, right? And we do this deal. So the blacksmith was incredible. And at some point, I don't remember how this started. I think it came up during the soccer game. We started talking about 1980s professional wrestling.
Yeah.
And I, for the life of me, I don't remember how it came up. But we decided, I shared with you that I have the entirety of WrestleMania 3 on DVD. And that's the iconic one. It was in the Pontiac Silverdome, which we both have connections to. And it's the one where...
Which you have more of a connection to than almost any non-ball player alive.
Yeah.
Like out of the movie and how your life is intermeshed with
it. Dude, the movie, and you were on set with me one day at the Pontiac Silverdome. We both walked around the great old stadium. God rest its soul. But anyway, I shared with you that I have WrestleMania 3 on DVD, and we decided that we would drive home, and before we started smoking cigars, we would watch the Hulk Hogan, Andre the Giant main event from WrestleMania 3, 1987, which was every bit as nostalgic and exciting and fun as I thought it would be.
I want you to say what happened. This is sort of how we got on the topic.
Yeah.
What happened the night of? Where were you? In 1987.
Yeah.
This is a charming story,
dude. This is one of my best memories. And it's an homage to the great Arnold Cluck, for whom the smoking lounge here is named. So my grandpa was a Chicago guy through and through. We would go to Chicago to visit him. And we went to Chicago because my grandpa was pay-per-view ordering WrestleMania 3 so that my cousin and I could watch it at his house.
Dude, that is so cool.
Which is such a sweet thing, man. He was such a sweet guy. This chair, this easy chair right here in the smoking lounge, that was my grandpa's chair. Had it right in front of the TV for Brian and I to use to watch.
Assuming that your grandfather had zero interest in WrestleMania 3.
Well, I'm sure he had zero interest.
He was just being a great grandpa.
Dude, he knew we loved it.
Uh-huh.
He knew we loved it. He wanted to show us a good time, give us a great evening.
How far from Hartford City to Chicago?
4 hours.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, 4 hours. So it was a...
Stay in the night and everything.
Stay in the night, doing the whole... Okay. It was a production. So we get there. He pay-per-views WrestleMania. We love it. About two-thirds of the way through the card. So about two-thirds of the way through WrestleMania, I start getting nervous. Like, really anxious.
Are you, like, pacing? Or
dude,
what's
I'm
going?
Pacing. I'm pacing. My stomach's getting a little churny. I was a really anxious kid anyway, so that wasn't unusual. But, like, what I was anxious over was the fact that the main event involved Andre the Giant, who was one of my all-time favorite wrestlers. Kind face, like, big moon face.
7'4"?
7'4", 600 pounds.
Dude, Hogan said on the commentary he was closer to 700 that day.
Yeah, that's
incredible.
They said
525 when they introduced him.
Yeah,
I took one look at him and was like, no.
Yeah, there's no way he's
I know guys who are my height that are 525.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he's 700, easy. So, big, gigantic guy, was in Princess Bride, just kind of a warm, good guy figure in wrestling. But he was fighting Hulk Hogan, who was also one of my all-time favorite wrestlers and was like the wrestling guy from the 80s. Like if you were...
A hero.
Yeah,
both
a hero to like our generation.
This is how we got to the topic. We were talking to Rocky and we started talking about how much we both freaked out when we saw Hulk Hogan come on screen.
Oh, dude, we were little kids at that time.
And
it was the biggest freak out.
Minds.
Yeah, like, oh, there's
Hulk
Hogan.
Hulk Hogan was a huge... Now, wait a minute. Neither of those guys was the... What do you call the bad guy in the wrestling?
The heel.
The heel. Neither of them was, right?
Well, I actually know a little bit of the backstory in this. So they wanted... The WWF wanted to be able to put Hogan and Andre the Giant in the main event for WrestleMania 3 because they were literally
pure
like...
money.
They were the biggest guys, both reputationally and physically. Uh-huh. They were just like the biggest, most impressive guys. And they were like, wouldn't it be cool if Hogan fought Andre the Giant? Which it would be. And so for a few months prior, they crafted this backstory, which nobody bought, of Andre the Giant turning bad for a minute and becoming mean and becoming a heel.
Oh, okay.
And they made him do these like heel interviews where he had to like act like he was mean. And he
Probably broke his heart to do
it.
It
broke his heart to do it, which probably, and it didn't work. Like, nobody for a minute believed that he was a bad guy.
They couldn't just be like, this happens to be the card.
Yeah, no.
It's all theatrics.
It's all theatrics. They got to do the big lead up, the big storyboarding of the idea to bring it into fruition. But in my heart, Andre the Giant was never a bad guy. So the time for the match comes, baby. And I'm so anxious. This is 11-year-old me. So 1987, I was 11 years old. I couldn't watch the match. So instead of watching it, I left my cousin, who was a few years older. He's 4 years older than me. I left my cousin and my grandpa in the living room to watch the match. I went to Gramps' room and just like sat on his bed nervously.
Oh, man.
As my cousin would run down the hall and give me updates, you know.
They dropped the arm again.
Yeah, he did the leg drop, you know.
Dude, all right, so first of all, when we watched it,
yeah.
How long had it been since you watched it?
I think I've watched it. I've definitely watched it since we lived in Jackson, but it was okay. In the old house, so probably 3 years.
It had been probably 30 for me.
Okay.
Nice. I realized right away, I was like, oh, I've seen this several times. A friend of mine videotaped it. Yeah. Tommy Rooney videotaped it.
Oh, Tommy. Stand-up guy.
Yeah, he went in the Air Force, became a military police. He's retired now. He's my age.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so I hate him.
Yeah.
I mean, I like him. He's a nice guy, but I hate him for that. He's already retired.
Is he working at home and doing very well financially as a freelance writer?
Probably.
Because that would be an option open to him now since he has a lot of time.
But, as soon as it started, my first thought was, this is cheesier and worse than I remember.
Yeah.
Like when they do the, like, I'm punching at you and I'm stomping to simulate the...
Yeah.
And your son Maxim, who, by the way, was really hoping to see a sleeper hold.
Yeah.
That was his thing yesterday.
He's really into sleeper holds right now.
Sleeper hold. He goes, oh, this is so fake. And you and I both at the same time, maybe with a little too much...
A little too much...
Rebuke.
Yeah.
Like, don't say that. Stop. Don't. Yeah. Just enjoy it.
Dude, because we wanted to enter fully into the fantasy and into the nostalgia.
Yeah, I wanted to get back into the kid thing. And it was just long enough, and it was a perfect match.
Yeah.
And at the end... I hadn't remembered how it ended until the very end was upon us.
Yeah.
And I felt like a little like buy-in.
Yeah, a little soaring sense of like this is awesome. What happened at the end? Tell the audience.
Spoiler alert, if you haven't seen WrestleMania 3.
From 1987.
The whole time Hulk is getting the crap kicked out of him, which is how you know he's gonna win.
Yeah.
He's like faking a back injury.
He's faking a back injury and Andre the Giant puts him in a huge, like, bear hug. And they do the thing where...
He's not getting enough oxygen.
He's not getting enough... And they go deep into the science of, like, the esophagus and how it works and the whole thing. He's not getting enough oxygen. And then Hogan does the thing where he goes limp.
Yes.
Right? And this is my favorite thing. The ref does the thing where he lifts the arm one time, it flops. He lifts the arm a second time, flops. Then the third time he lifts the arm, it goes down halfway. And then Hogan, like... balls his fist up and starts shaking, and then he starts shaking his like wet, stringy, gross hair around. Crowd's going insane, like 99.
Dude, we were going insane.
Dude, we were going crazy.
Grown men.
As old men, 32 years later, going crazy. The whole crowd, 95,000 plus people going bananas. It was just a great moment, great wrestling moment. And how did it end, Zach?
Well, he winds up. What is that movie? Picks him up upside down and flips
body
him.
Body slams.
That's just the body slam.
Yeah.
I was thinking the body slam where they get him like...
Oh.
What is that?
Like a suplex?
Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, yeah, I mean, I wrestled in high school a little bit, but we never did any of that cool stuff.
I think the names are different. Yeah. Like the real wrestling moves versus... Yeah.
But, I at the end, when it was all over...
Yeah.
I thought about how Hulk Hogan's still alive and Andre the Giant's dead, and I thought, I wish Andre would have won.
Yeah, I know it.
I wish he would have had... Did he get it? Did he ever get the title?
I think he had the title for a while.
Okay,
good. I don't remember, but...
We were talking about also how Hulk Hogan... Our boy looks... he looked 52 then. He looks 52 now, 30-some years later.
Yeah.
What's going on?
I don't know. It's amazing. The guy... He's like Carmen, you know?
He is. What if he is Carmen?
Fascinating.
Do you know what card I'd like to see?
Yeah.
Hulk Hogan
versus Carmen.
I was going to say... That'd be a good preliminary bout.
Yeah.
Winner versus Luke Wampus.
Ooh, Wampus would be a heel. He'd be a bad guy for sure. Baby, I have to tell you, I was such an Andre the Giant fan. Like, the vast majority of my sort of age 9 through 11-year-old, like, contrived, this is how I want my life to look fantasies, included a scenario in which Andre the Giant and I were friends, and we hung out all the time. Like,
what were you both wearing the sort of, like, one shoulder singlet where both nipples are out?
Yeah, he was wearing the singlet. I was probably wearing the singlet. And we were both professional wrestlers. We were colleagues, you know. And
he was probably a mentor to you.
He was a mentor. After work, we would just hang out, you know.
Naturally, yeah.
Share our hopes and dreams, you know. Not drink like 3 cases of beer in a row, which is, I think, maybe more like what happens. But yeah, Andre.
But that's like you having like a glass and a half.
Exactly, exactly. No, man, tip of the cap to Andre the Giant.
Wherever you are.
Yeah.
I think I should jump in here and mention, if you like hearing Ted wax nostalgic and share his knowledge of professional wrestling, you could go on this little mom and pop shop called Amazon.
That's right, Little Bookseller.
You could type in headlocks and dropkicks, Ted Kluck.
Yeah.
And you could purchase an entire book of Ted opining and
waxing
sharing
nostalgic,
wisdom
about wrestling.
Wrestling.
And you would have been, you would be at that point the 5th person to have done so.
Now, what are the odds that you can like get
the rights to that?
I was gonna say get those. Those are nice hardcover books with a nice
dust
jacket.
They are nice.
Yeah. Are they sitting at the Lions Press in a warehouse?
Dude, they probably are. I should reach out to them. I would love to get some more of
those. Those would be great prizes. Those would be things for you to sign and sell.
Dude, I'd love to just have a few more of those.
Dude,
you
should look into that.
I'm gonna look into it.
If you can get the rights to that,
yeah.
Gut check. Here's our plan going forward.
Corporate. This is like an annual report. Yeah, work business.
Work business with my work friend.
That's right.
We're all in right now. Banging out the design, the typesetting, the details, the front matter, etc. Of Ted's essay collection. That is 100% number one, only priority right now.
That's right.
Once that is out, we're going audiobooks for a while. And I've got the rights back finally to Playing Saint and The Last Con. We're going to put out some audiobooks. Ted's got the audio rights to Hello, I Love You, which is one of following
one of the more popular books,
Which is what's so weird is that they remaindered it.
Yeah.
When, like,
a lot of people are still buying it and talking about it.
A lot of times, you see, I see more people talking to you than you do, I think, because I manage your Facebook page.
Yeah.
And when people pop on and, like...
Which, is there anything good going on in there?
I don't know, check it out. Yeah. What's funny to me, Ted, is that people will say, like, thanks for accepting my friend request. And I'm like, you didn't. It's you just click like.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway, they'll say, I loved, and lately a lot of people really loved your, the graphic novel, which there's a sequel to coming out soon.
Yeah.
A lot of people love that.
Dude,
not just
great.
Kids, but adults who have kids. And
stuff.
And then a lot of people are saying, I love Hello, I Love You.
Nice.
I'm an adoptive parent, or even just like love the narrative thread of it and the faith struggles and stuff. Maybe that's more of a you sell it at the book table, and less of a people walk into a non-existent Lifeway or Family Christian store.
sure, maybe. Either way, man, thanks to all the people who have been enjoying that book. There's going to be an audio version of that coming in the future here at Gut Check Corporate. You know, it's just one of the many.
We got to get together, me, Ted, and Mrs. Ray.
Yeah, that's right.
And then after that is going to be Re-Raptured on the bus.
Yeah.
And then, so this is like a 4-year plan or something.
That's right.
And then after that, volume two, second edition.
Of
the smoking book, which means we're going to beef it up quite a bit with new material, update some of the outdated material, of which there's not much.
Yeah.
And relay it out, recover it probably, and then come out with the second edition. And we've already got some stuff on hand.
Yeah.
We've got plans. We got to talk to Joe Thorne.
Mm-hmm.
That was a big oversight the first time.
Dude, what was? What were we going to do with Thorny? I don't remember.
Let's just do an interview with a guy.
Oh, yeah.
Like Jared C. was like, I smoke one cigar every 6 years so that I can stay on this like health insurance plan with Christians.
Yeah.
And that Joe Thorne's like, I smoke 19 a day. And we went with
a one cigar every 6 years guy. Yeah. That was a big oversight by us.
And I want to talk about Mean Gene Scott in the book. The cursing preacher who was always
ranting while
he had a cigar in his hand. You had the John Rums essay. There's a lot more to say.
Dude, we got stuff.
We could almost double the size of that thing.
Absolutely.
So that's where we're going.
Yeah.
If you want to support us, get on patreon.com/... I'm kidding. We're not doing that.
No, we're not doing that. Baby, we should probably land the plane on this app, don't you think?
Let's land it. Let's land it right on Luke Wampus' face.
That's right. Baby, this has been a wonderful morning.
I like it when you do that.
Yeah. That's my Dr. Daniel Jeremiah, David Jeremiah voice. Daniel Jeremiah's his kid, who's a football analyst, who I really like right, the podcast stuff.
And that ties up a loose end, because you said you knew him from two things, and then you said your mom used likes him, and the other thing is his...
Yeah, so 45 minutes later, the other thing is his kid hosts a football podcast.
So it's your mom and his kid. Those are the connections.
Those are the connections. Two people that I like very much. And Zach, we have wandered to and fro throughout these topics, which is not a thing we say on this program, is it?
You say that every time, man.
Do I?
Yeah.
And we will see you... next time.